Welcome to Blind Bargain's audio coverage of CSUN 2012. Brought to you by...
On the American Foundation for the Blind website, you'll find everything you need to know about blindness and visual impairment. Search our national job bank, discover the history of Helen Keller, read our blog on current issues, find professional resources, and even more. Our site is completely accessible. Check it out at www.afb.org.
Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
We are here at CSUN 2012 with Karina Pickhart, the CEO and one of the founders of SixDot, and here with an update and a product that is now shipping that we've been talking about for a while, the SixDot Braille Labeler. Welcome back to Blind Bargains.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. I'm almost losing my voice, but we'll make it through.
Okay, I'll do all the talking.
Hey, that works just fine. Last year we did a podcast and we were talking about the SixDot, and we had a prototype at that point, but a lot has changed and now it is shipping. So why don't you tell us about some of the progress that you've made over the last year?
Sure, I'd love to give an update. So what we've got here at CSUN this year is a fully ready to ship, example of the SixDot labeler. Over the last year, what we've done is really just finalized all of the details that are going to make our product, beautiful, easy to use. Some of the changes that happened over the last year include, simple things from changing the shape and form and making it a little more lightweight and compact to pretty big changes. Like, for example, we integrated a USB port into the device now, so you can plug in a QWERTY keyboard, and that's one of the big highlights that we're here to present this year.
So someone who doesn't know Braille at all can still type?
Absolutely.
On the
either someone who just prefers to use a QWERTY keyboard or someone who doesn't know how to type Braille or type on the Braille keyboard, like a teacher or parent of a blind child, for example. And those are that's a constituency, I would say, that has been really interested in our product from day one, but has, of course, had the challenge of thinking that
right.
They might not be able to use it.
But they want to put Braille labelers on their students' equipment. Or
absolutely. Around their house if they've got a blind child themselves.
Yeah. I guess you could label an entire book that way if you wanted to, like, the kids' books. Or
absolutely. Yeah. And we met someone who wanted to do exactly that.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things that we noticed is it got quieter. So maybe we could actually hear. We have one in front of us here.
Yes, we do. So I've got it right here on the table.
We'll see if it got too quiet. If we can actually be able to pick it up. So
right. Product is very simply, tape is loaded in a very simple fashion, powered on. We've moved the power switch now, so it sits right in the center of the Braille keyboard, so right between keyboard.
Oh, yeah, right in the front. Okay.
And you just flip the switch towards the space bar, so it's in the on position right now. And then as soon as you feel the tape emerging from the device, which it is already on the left-hand side there.
Okay, coming out the back left. Okay.
Then you can just go ahead and type away.
Let's see if I can do this while I'm holding this. And let's see.
Multitasking.
Yeah. So I typed hello, and it's coming out, and it's out. So now that it wrote hello, then do I press this cut button, or do I have to advance it first?
What we do, you don't have to advance it at all. In fact, if you don't advance it, you're going to get a perfect label that doesn't have any excess tape on the end. So what I do is I just power the unit off so I don't hit any stray keys.
Okay.
Then I slide the slider down and back up, the cutting slider.
Oh, wow.
The label should be out.
So it's not a hard lever to press down as far as cutting.
No, you have to just hold on to it in the right orientation, and we describe that in our user manual. But
and it left a tab on the end, of course.
It leaves a tab on the end of the label, so at the right after O and hello.
One of the things that I've definitely noticed about this compared to, say, using a handheld labeler, like a Dymo labeler, is the Braille is really crisp. It seems to be really, like, you couldn't just really easily smush it down.
Right. And that's what we keep hearing is over and over again as we've brought prototypes, even our earliest prototypes, to CSUN conferences in the past. People come back to us the next year and tell us, where they've put their labels through the dishwasher on their mugs and so on, and that the Braille is still holding crisp. And that's really a great thing. We're really intent on focusing on fine details. So one of the other big changes, besides just keeping our Braille quality really nice, is that we focused on really improving the feedback from the keys. So when you press those keys on the keyboard, we expect that you feel sure that you've hit the right things and that's a pleasant experience.
So are there two different modes? Because I've seen it act where I'm typing and it prints it out right away, and I've seen it go where I'm typing and it doesn't print out until the end of the line.
So it always starts printing right as soon as you start typing.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of how fast you're typing. So if you're typing really quick, You'll find that the Braille is sort of catching up with you. The label is going to catch up with you because it stores all your key presses in this queue, and then it just kind of prints out the Braille as fast as it can. So especially, I guess, if you're typing a longer label, you'll find that it kind of comes out at its own pace.
Okay.
And you can sort of read along as it comes out.
Sure. What would you say, do you have your rate of the speed of it officially? Or?
In terms of characters per second, it's probably around the order of a character per second.
Okay.
So if you typed a 15-character
right.
thing, you could type it as fast as you want, but it'll just take a little
How many time. Characters are in the buffer?
So you can make practically as long a label as you want. We've capped it at 150 characters, just because we don't expect anyone would need to make a label much longer than that.
Right.
Time.
At that point, you might as well just make another label.
Probably so. But we could. That's sort of a software thing, so it's not a big deal for us to edit if that's something
sure.
that people would like.
So there's no other controls on it, right? We have the USB on the right side, the cutter on the back,
right.
power switch.
That's about all. So we're trying to keep it really simple and clean and not make it so feature heavy that no one can figure out how to use it. So hopefully that keeps it simple, crisp and clean.
And what does it weigh?
It weighs a pound and a half.
Well, that is lighter then.
Yeah, and I think with the batteries, it has four AA batteries in there, and I think with a cartridge of tape loaded and the batteries, it comes out to about 2 pounds.
So are those rechargeable batteries, or do you just use regular AAs?
So we've been using regular AAs ourselves personally, but you can definitely put rechargeable AAs in there, absolutely.
Okay, but you wouldn't be able to... You don't plug it into a wall and recharge it, can you?
No, you can't do that in this model.
How long does it last on four batteries?
Yeah, that's something we're really proud of, too. A set of batteries will last you about 10 rolls of tape, which is about 120 feet of labels, with continuous use. So if you were just typing labels all night and day, you could go for about, about like 5 hours worth of just labeling forever before it died.
Right. Okay.
And then, if you're using it in sort of a normal use case, like... make a couple labels here today and then a couple more tomorrow, it'll last a lot longer in that situation.
Okay. One of the interesting things that you did to get this project going was to obtain some funding, not some, lots of funding, through Kickstarter.com, mm-hmm. Raising over $50,000 for the projects. What gave you that idea, and describe a little bit of how that process worked?
Yeah, so our company is based out in Silicon Valley in the San Francisco Bay Area. That's a really hot spot for innovation these days, and
right.
we wanted to be a part of that. We wanted to bring assistive technology into that space because there really aren't a lot of assistive technology companies there. But one of the challenges we found is that in developing new assistive technology like what we did here, a lot of financing is required. It's a very cash-demanding kind of business to start right up front, and it wasn't the type of business that most Silicon Valley investors were excited about or comfortable with because it's very different from what they know, what they're used to, what they compare to other business models. And so we had to find alternative business models. And what we realized is that a lot of people are really excited about what we're doing and would love to support us, but can't support us in a traditional investment kind of way. So we found Kickstarter. And Kickstarter is a website that enables crowdsourced funding. So we got over 500 people around the world, literally. Lots of strangers, lots of people we never met, and lots of people who've been supporting us for a long time that would put down money to support our project. And that totaled, like you said, over $50,000 that came into our company. Everyone who participated and gave a contribution could sign up for a prize, and we were awarding these contributors or backers of our project by also supporting other blind entrepreneurs. So we gave out CDs by some blind musicians at a certain pledge level. We used a blind musician's work to as the background soundtrack of our promotional video for this.
Okay.
And we had jewelry from a lady who, casts Braille jewelry and so on. So we tried to support a lot of other entrepreneurs in our space while doing our fundraiser.
So I'm guessing it probably became pretty nerve-wracking. Part of how Kickstarter works is if you don't reach your funding target by the cutoff date, which, by the end of the project, then you don't receive any of the funding.
Right, exactly. So we had to hit at least $50,000 within 30 days. And so you're right. The last couple days were kind of nerve-wracking. But,
it was right to the wire.
It was right to the wire. And the really cool thing about this whole process is there have been a lot of really nerve-wracking moments in our company, a lot of times when, we weren't sure if we could actually pull it off and make it through and make it to where we are today, which is shipping a product to customers. But the really beautiful thing is that we've really just got so many folks who've been supporting us and rooting for us and wanting to see us succeed. And so as soon as we actually hit that $50,000 target on Kickstarter, we got tremendous number of phone calls and emails and text messages right away. And that just, that was so invigorating because it meant people were just sitting there on the website
watching the page, hoping
you know, yeah, that we would make it there and calling to congratulate
us. And you had some momentum. Once you started getting close, and I think some people probably waited until, okay, maybe this is really going
to
go through.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's pretty much true to sort of human psychology. A lot of people gave money right up front who knew they wanted to contribute, and then a lot of people were like, we'll wait and see if they're actually going to make it to their goal, then I'll put my money down.
Sure. So the actual process for submitting your idea to Kickstarter, how does that work?
Yeah, so Kickstarter has a lot of information, a lot of resources on their website that help prepare one for submitting an application, and basically you just submit a very basic proposal that is almost like the first draft of what's going to be on your Kickstarter page. And then it's reviewed by some folks over at Kickstarter's offices, which are out in New York. And they give you sort of an approval or rejection. And then if you're rejected, you can typically figure out what conditions you didn't meet and modify your application. And that's a process that can take, maybe like a week or so. Mm-hmm. But then you're doing probably a lot of preparation before you submit that. So you want to really figure out exactly how you want it to be structured. And you can just learn a lot from the resources they
provide.
You
want to put a lot of thought into it. You had to create a video.
Yeah, there's a video. There's the text of the language of how you're going to present your project. And then the really important part is to figure out how you're going to reward your backers. And you do it at different levels, right? If you contribute $20, you can get this. If you contribute $100, you could get another thing. And you really need to sort of figure out the finances of that, because every contribution you give someone is either going to cost you time or money to put together for them. And so you want to make sure that you do the math right, so that when people donate a certain amount and then you give them their prize,
you still have some left over.
Yeah, you have what you need. And the whole point of Kickstarter is to get you the money you need to hit a certain milestone. So we needed $50,000 to manufacture our first 200 products that are going to our first 200 customers. And so we had to budget so that we would raise a little bit more than that, so that once all the prizes were sent out and everything, we'd still have the money we need to get there.
Right. So once you sell those first 200, then you can go from there. You'll have the money to keep producing
mm-hmm.
more.
And absolutely. And, I just want to say Kickstarter is a great platform for any kind of person who has any sort of hobby. I've seen musicians out there, who want to put together a really nice, their first album, and they want to be able to buy the right equipment. And then there's,
and it doesn't have to be $50,000. You see lots of projects up there just running at $1,000.
Oh, sure, absolutely. From as little to a couple $100, I've seen as low as actually a couple $100 to up to $500,000. I've seen a company raise, or not even a company, just an individual or a team, little team.
What percent do they take? Does Kickstarter take?
So in total, you should expect that about 6 to 8% will be cut, and I think it's something like, I'm sorry, the numbers aren't right off the top of my head, but it's like 3 to 5% Kickstarter takes as their commission, and then the credit card companies that are charging all your backers' cards will take a little cut, which is something
sure.
like also 3 to 5%. I guess that comes to between 6 and 10%.
Right, so you just have to figure it. Add another couple thousand into what you're trying to raise.
Right, well, it's a percentage, right? So you just add something like 6 to 10% so that you've got that covered. Yeah, that's right. So that's all the math you've got to do to make sure that what you're trying to raise makes sense. But when you do that, Kickstarter has just let so many things take flight. It has given so many people opportunities, and I'm really indebted to Kickstarter, our team is, for what they enabled us to do here.
Sure. So looking forward at version 1.0, I guess, if you will. How has some of the initial reaction been, and what are you looking towards the future as far as are you going to add new features? Are you going to do other products, or what's the future like for 6.0?
So right now our target, our focus is to just take really good care of our first 200 customers. We want them to really form the core of what our company's future is going to look like and to inform that future of our company. And we're going to just be focusing right now on the 6.0 Braille Labeler. Like I said, we have 200 units available. Many of them are accounted for, but they're still for sale on our website until we run out of that inventory at www.6dot.com.
That's the number 6.
Number 6dot.com. After that, we'll be preparing to get this product on a full production line. So, we know there are a lot more than 200 people who want this product, and so we're going to be getting ready to go into full production. And that'll happen. We don't have a date even unofficially announced yet. So it'll be something like, from several months to up to a year until there are more labelers available, and just as we ready that for production. And I don't think there'll be feature changes that you see between now and then.
So if you want one, get it now, as opposed to if you don't get it now, you're going to have to be waiting several months.
It'll be a long wait. And we're going to try and cut that as short as we possibly can, but we just know, after going through this process, we know the timeline of what things take. You know, it took us 3 years to get to this day, so we're just trying to be smart about our schedule here.
Right.
And then, yes, you should absolutely plan to see more products coming down the pipeline, but we are not announcing any of that just yet. But
we're,
you know, a young team. We'd like to be really innovative and really just kind of change the dynamic and the paradigm of what assistive technology looks like in the world today.
Right. And it's really cool to see companies trying, you know, coming to CSUN and other these conferences and trying different things, not just bringing the same old.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think CSUN is a great place to do that because there's just such a great group of folks that come out here. You know, lots of folks you see year after year, and then lots of new folks that make it out every year. And that's it's really just kind of a great mix of people and exhibitors and talks, all sorts of stuff.
How do you explain or sell the 6.0? I mean, probably the most common argument, if you will, is like, why would I buy a 6.0 labeler when I can get a Dymo labeler for $20-$30?
Yeah, well, I think the customers themselves discover the value of our product whenever they demo it, and it's, you know, what Dymo gives you is, the Dymo tape labeler gives you something like 35 characters, which is, you know, what is it, half of the Braille character set in only one language. It's difficult to use. Most people find that they break. They don't produce good quality Braille. The Braille doesn't last. The labels come out wrong, and they have to make the same label 3 times before they get it right. And all that process takes a really long time, dialing that spool around. It's a really inconvenient process. And labeling needs to be quick, easy, right when you need it. Because, you know, when you bring home your bag of groceries, you want to just take care of that. That process shouldn't take you half a day to get, you know, everything labeled and sorted and whatever.
Right. So how much is the 6.0? And you go ahead and give the website again.
So the labeler is available for $329.99. You can get it on our website at www.6dot.com. You can also call us directly at our 800 number. It's 877-507-6368. That's 6.0's headquarters.
Sure. There were people last year, I believe you had a pre-order period going on. Have those people been taken care of?
Everyone who placed a pre-order has been taken care of. And those customers who put down a deposit a year ago for this product that they wanted so badly received a special discount and are definitely a very special part of our community and our company and our history, because they too were a very important part of getting us to where we are today, because they made it very clear that the demand for the product was there.
This has been really insightful. Thank you so much for giving us an update, and good luck.
Yeah, we're always happy to share a little bit with you about the process of starting a company from the ground up, and we're excited to be on this journey and hope to see some more of you and everyone else around here soon.
Great, thank you.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys. Copyright 2012.